We're going to continue our discussion on friendship. And we have been talking over the last few weeks about being a friend of God. Today, we want to turn our attention into the New Testament and speak of friendship in the New Testament. And we're going to look at this from Matthew chapter 11, reading it from the New King James Version, Matthew chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. And it says, Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. So I'm going to speak to you now on friendships in the New Testament and probably look at several different verses over these next few weeks. I'm going to start with this verse, Matthew 11, 19, because it is the first time in the New Testament that Jesus actually uses the word friend. And I always like to pay attention to when a word is first used in the New Testament, and particularly when that word is used by Jesus. And so Jesus is saying these words, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton, a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So the first thing I want you to note is that in this first part of your outline, Jesus came eating and drinking. And then he says, and they say, look. I want to have you write that word look in, because I need you to know, as they were watching Jesus, they also are watching us. They're looking, whoever they are, and Jesus doesn't define they, he just says they, and they have been around a long time. And they are still doing what they do. And one of the things that they do is they look. And so Jesus is letting us know that people are looking. They're watching. They're looking at you. Just as they are looking at Jesus Christ, they look at you. Sometimes it's neighbors, sometimes it's co-workers, sometimes it's relatives, sometimes it's church members. But I want you to know they are looking. And Jesus is, he doesn't rebuke that. He's not mad about that. In fact, he welcomes it. He wants them to see. And when you allow the light of Christ to come in your life, you want somebody else to see it. It's not appropriate for us to have Christ in our lives and nobody else knows it. Jesus said, you don't have a light under a bushel. You put a light out where everybody else can see it. You want them to be drawn to the light. And we want men and women, boys, girls, teenagers, young adults, seniors, we want them to be drawn to the light of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, what they say is, they say, look. And that's exactly what we want them to do. We want them to look. But then he says, not only do they say, look, and they tell some, this is a problem with they. They rarely ever get the story completely right. If my dad was preaching, he would tell you they lie. Yeah, they don't tell the truth. Now, to be honest, they usually would tell a partial truth. And so they also will add to that truth or either subtract from that truth, but they rarely just will tell you the truth. And so here in this text, they're looking, and that's true. And then what they say is something that they begin by saying something that's not true. They're going to mix truth and untruth together. And so what they tell you that's not true, they say he's a glutton and a winebibber, meaning he gets drunk. Well, nowhere in the scriptures does it say that our Christ ever got drunk. He did drink wine. In fact, not only did he drink wine, he made wine. Made wine out of water. And that was his first miracle. But he never got drunk. So that was something they made up. But then, in addition to that, they say he is a friend of tax collectors. And then the Bible makes it real clear there was a man named Zacchaeus who was the chief of the tax collectors. And Zacchaeus became part of the family of God. Because Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in a tree, called Zacchaeus down, says to Zacchaeus, today I'm coming to your house. And when he went to Zacchaeus' house, salvation, Jesus said, salvation is coming to your house. Zacchaeus accepted Jesus as the Christ, and Zacchaeus and all of his family were saved. And so they got it right. They said he's a friend of tax collectors, and they were right. He is a friend of tax collectors. And then they added, and he's a friend of sinners. And I want you to write that in. The second part of your outline, Jesus' enemies, he's known as a friend of sinners. He's known even by his enemies as being a friend of sinners. Now, that's good news for you and me, because each one of us, we have sin in our lives. We need a man that's a friend of sinners. We need a Christ that is a friend of sinners. We need a Savior that will save us from our sins. That's who Jesus Christ is. He is a friend of sinners. In fact, he died for sinners that they might be saved. He died for you and me that we might be saved. He died that we would not commit sin anymore. He shows us the way how to overcome sin. We can overcome sin, and that's every sin in our lives. We can overcome it through Jesus Christ. He sends his Holy Spirit to live in us, and that Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us. We can win this fight. I'm glad it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and on the fourth Sunday, we're going to all be wearing pink. But this is a fight. Not only is breast cancer a fight that we can win if we do our part, it is the fight against sin that we can win if we do what Christ is asking of us, and that is to give our lives to Christ. We can win this fight. Somebody, amen goes that, Deacon. Come on, Deacon. Yeah, give me an amen there. It's a winnable fight, but it is a fight that you got to get in the ring and fight. You're not going to win the fight against sin if you don't fight. You're gonna have to put on your armor, as Paul, the Apostle Paul says, the helmet of salvation. You're going to have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You're going to have to put on the belt of truth. You got to be armed, but it's a fight you can win if you will put on the armor and fight. Jesus Christ teaches us how to fight that good fight of faith. He sets the example. He wants you and I to know this is a fight we can win. He is a friend of sinners. But not only that, my brothers and sisters, Jesus then continues after he says a friend of sinners, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, he then says this expression, but wisdom, somebody say, but wisdom. Wisdom is justified by her children. Jesus gives us this expression, but wisdom. And I want to close by sharing with you wisdom. And then he actually, in verse 20, he actually then shows us what wisdom does. But he starts off by saying, but wisdom is justified by her children. And so I list now, under that statement, I list four verses, Psalm 15, verses 2 and 3. And I'm saying this for our radio audience. You can look this up. Proverbs 17, 17, Proverbs 18, 24, and then from the Song of Solomon, verse 5, 16. And these are acts of wisdom that I want you to hear. Psalm 15, verses 2 and 3. Who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil towards his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend. This person lives right. They treat the neighbor right. They try to not, it says, doesn't have a reproach against a friend. All of us who have friends, we know every friend that you have has a fault or a flaw. The only friend you have that doesn't have any faults or flaws is Jesus Christ. So every other friend you have, they got something wrong with them. And as and since you're their friend, I won't say that, but you let's say since you're their friend, let's just say pray for them. But being a part of friendship, it says they do not bring reproach against their friend. That means they don't go around trying to find every fault and flaw that their friend has. If you're a friend, then you should not be advertising your friend's faults or flaws or weaknesses. You try to protect your friend. You try to encourage, help your friend overcome their faults and flaws. A righteous person does not bring reproach against their friend. And Jesus wants you and I to learn how to be friends, how to be a friend. We're talking about friendship in the New Testament. Well, part of what friendship does is not advertise somebody else's fault or flaw. You pray about it. You may need to speak to your friend about it. But what you don't need to do is advertise it. You don't need to bring it up in their face all the time. You certainly don't need to try to diminish them because of their fault or flaw. That becomes an error in relationships. That becomes an error in friendship when we want to say, you did this wrong and you're no good. And it really becomes tough when what you have to say is true. Even if it's true, and Jesus could spend his whole 33 years bringing up stuff that's true about me and you. He could bring condemnation and judgment every day for 33 years, and everything he said would be right. But he said, but that's not what a friend does. Friend does not bring reproach against their friend. Our Christ came that he would not bring reproach. In other words, he wouldn't bring up our faults and flaws. What he brings to us is salvation. He brings to us grace. He brings to us mercy. He brings to us love. He brings to us forgiveness. He said, that's what I'm bringing to this friendship. And my brothers and sisters, if you bring that to your friendships, love, mercy, grace, peace, forgiveness, if you bring that to your friendship will grow. And it becomes stronger. And it'll get to the point where you'll be able to help save your friend because you presented to them Jesus the Christ. Jesus says, this is what real friendship is about. And then Proverbs 17:17, one of my favorite Old Testament verses, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend's going to love you in good times and in bad times. A friend's going to love you when you're right, and a friend will love you even when you're wrong. A friend loves at all times. I hope you'll be that type of friend. I hope you'll be a friend that will love at all times. And Jesus tells us that this is what wisdom teaches us. Let me also tell you that a man, Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. So if you tell me you don't have any friends, I'm going to tell you, you're not friendly. Every person that will present themselves as being friendly, God's going to raise up a friend for you. That's who our God is. That's why it's part of the wisdom literature. And so you don't need to be all by yourself. God will raise a friend up for you. Might be somebody of a different culture. Might be somebody of a different race. Might be somebody that has some other issues. You know, people got issues, don't you? Yeah. But because they have issues, that doesn't mean they can't be your friend. I got a transgendered friend, and used to be a woman and now has transgendered into being a man. And I've shown myself to be friendly. We talk and we try to say, what common ground do we have? And our common ground is that this person is also a preacher. Right? Pastors right here in Los Angeles. And in August, I went to that church. I heard him preach. And he asked me, well, what do you think of my message? I had to get quiet for a minute. I said, well, let me tell you one great thing you did. You read the Bible. If you're going to preach, it needs to come from the Bible. I said, so you got that part right. And then you quoted accurately what the scripture says. You did not misrepresent the scripture. You quoted it accurately. And I said, and I believe you've shown love toward the people that you're pastoring. So those are three things I know I can say honestly, and I can say in the presence of God, and I can say it anywhere because I know that to be true. And I said, I think I better stop right there. There were a lot of other things I wanted to say, but the Spirit was telling me this is not the time and this is not the place. You, in every friendship, you need to be listening to what is the Holy Spirit saying? Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And most of the time, it's going to be telling you, quiet down. Because if you're talking, that means you can't hear what the Spirit is saying. Two of you can't talk at the same time. Take some time to hear what the Spirit says. I did ask my friend, let me be able to talk to you some more about that at a later time, because right now I want to be clear on what the Spirit is saying to me. And when you get clear on what the Spirit is saying to you, then make sure the Spirit authorizes you to say it to somebody else. Just because the Spirit spoke it to you doesn't mean it's telling you to say it to anybody else. A lot of good Christians just talk too much, really. Just talk too much. We need to learn to let the Holy Spirit even tell us to be quiet. But let me get to the last thing Jesus says here, and I'll be finished. He says wisdom is justified by her offspring. What is the offspring of wisdom in your life? Said by thy children. That means the offspring. What are the offsprings of wisdom in you? You need to let wisdom have some offspring. Let wisdom produce something in you. That becomes our challenge. Jesus said wisdom is justified by what it produces. Now let me show you what Jesus produces, and I'll be finished for this morning. It says, then he began to rebuke the cities where he had done mighty works. That's the first thing wisdom will do. Wisdom will do some mighty works. Wisdom always produces mighty works. It's going to do something strong. It's going to do something that will have a lasting impact. It's going to do something that will help change lives. It is a mighty work. And our Christ does mighty works. He's doing mighty works today. He didn't stop doing mighty works in the Old Testament. He's doing mighty works right now. And he wants you and I to be willing to say to the world, Jesus Christ is still doing mighty works. But my brothers and sisters, the mighty works that Jesus did and is still doing among us, he wants us to know the strongest work is the work that he wants to do in you. And the strongest work he wants to do in you, the strongest work he wants to do in me, is that he would have us repent. Repent means to turn away from what I had been doing and turn toward God. It's not just simply turning away from something. It's making sure we turn toward something, and that something needs to be God. When you repent, you turn from that which was not right to turn to the one who is right, and the only one that is right is Jesus Christ. There's only one that's right and has never been wrong. That's Jesus Christ. And that's the one we are to turn to, and we need to make sure that we are offering ourselves to him. Jesus said, I've done mighty works, but you didn't repent. I preached mighty sermons, and you didn't repent. I brought healing, and I brought peace, and I brought love, and I brought mercy, and I brought forgiveness, and you didn't repent. My brothers and sisters, if we don't repent, that means we didn't receive the mighty works that he's done. We haven't embraced the mighty works that our Christ is doing. And so our job is, first of all, to acknowledge that I need to repent. Repent of my sins. Repent of my wrongdoings. I even repent of my emotions. And we got a lot of different emotions and feelings. Very, very rare do I hear of anybody repenting of having been mad or having gotten angry or having said something they shouldn't have said. And God said, no, if you're not repenting of any of that, then you haven't really encountered the Christ. Because when I encounter the Christ, I want to repent of my sins. And I want to say, God, do a mighty work and let it start with me. Let it be in me. Let it change my life. Let it change my heart. Let it change my feeling. Let it change my emotion. Let the mighty work start in me. Our Christ wants to do a mighty work. He wants wisdom to be justified by her works, by offering to us the plan of salvation. And the plan of salvation is that we would repent. It starts there. If you don't repent, doesn't matter whatever else you do. You can feed every hungry person in the world, and Jesus at the end is going to say, but I don't know you. You can go to every hospital and tell people, get up out of that bed and everybody be healed. And at the end, Jesus Christ said, you did all those mighty things, but I don't know you. We need to make sure we repent. And then we get ourselves where our God can do a mighty work in us. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Maybe somebody here today is ready to repent. Man, woman, boy, girl, child, teenager, senior citizen, if you're willing to repent, our God is willing to bring you into the family of God. Make that decision today. Repent. Turn to the Lord. He will bless your life. Choir will lead us in a song. Johnny, come down. Johnny's going to have surgery this coming Friday, and I want to pray for Johnny. Pray the Lord will bring healing to Johnny during his surgery. Come right here, Johnny. And if you know someone that needs prayer for special healing, why don't you come and represent them? Just come stand right in the front here. The Lord said that we receive not because we ask not. So why don't we come ask? Let's ask the Lord. let's just ask the Lord. I believe God's word is true. And if we would have what we call intercessory prayer, where we stand on behalf of somebody else, they might not even be in this state. They may live in another country. But we can stand in the presence of God and ask God to do the miraculous. Gracious God, we're standing now with Johnny and all others that are here that are asking for healing. We know that you are the great physician. You are the great surgeon. Be with Johnny and be with all others that are asking for healing. And I know all healing isn't physical. Some of the healing is spiritual. Bring spiritual healing. Bring physical healing. Bring healing, we pray. Heal us. In the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ, we ask for this healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now unto him, they to keep us from falling. The great shepherd of the sheep, the firstborn from the dead, the blood of the everlasting covenant, even our Savior Jesus our Christ, to him be dominion, majesty, grace, and power now, henceforth, and forever. Let us all say amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.